Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11, continuing our way through this divinely inspired book. Who is Yeshua? Yeshua is the most important man who ever lived. The most important man brought the world the most important message, a message that must be believed. For human beings who are alienated from God and headed to death, not life, to hell, not heaven, to be reconciled to their Creator and live forever. And that is our greatest need, to be reconciled to our Creator before we leave this world. Everything Yeshua did, everything he said, every interaction with others that has been recorded for us in this divinely inspired book of Mark is extremely important, extremely relevant. We want to understand as much as we possibly can about this most important man and his most important message. We want to line up our thoughts and our lives with this most important man and his most important message. And we want to tell as many people as we possibly can, starting with the Jewish people first, about this most important man and his most important message. We are getting close to the end of Messiah's amazing life and tremendous ministry. Everything is now intensifying. Everything is building to the most amazing climax, leading to some of the most important events in human history. Yeshua is the Messiah. He is the true King of Israel. The king is about to make his entry into his capital city, Jerusalem. But he is the King Messiah of the first coming, the Isaiah 53 kind of King Messiah, the humble kind of king predicted by the prophet Zechariah, who said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just. He is endowed with salvation. He is humble. He is mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." A prophecy from Zechariah. Who is Yeshua? He is someone who was familiar with this prophecy of Zechariah, and he helped fulfill it. Mark chapter 11, verse 1, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Yeshua sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" And what Yeshua said would happen is exactly what happened. Mark tells us they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Yeshua had told them to, and the people let them go, which took some faith and trust on their part, which I am sure will not go unrewarded by heaven. So, who is Yeshua? He is someone who says that something will happen, and it happens. Exactly the way he says it will happen, and it happens always. He is someone who knows the prophecies of the Word of God, like Zechariah chapter 9. And he works with God the Father to make the prophecies come true. All of them. When they brought the colt to Yeshua and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Who is Yeshua? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, who is worthy to ride the horse of horses. Yet he is humble enough to ride into his capital on a colt. And he is someone who wants us to follow his example and humble ourselves like he is. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Save now!" Or, "Please save," which is used in Psalm 118, the last of the Hallel Psalms, special psalms which praise God for various aspects of his great saving power. Psalm 118 is a prophetic song which praises God for the ultimate salvation made possible by the Messiah. And the people were also praising Yeshua using another part of Psalm 118. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, we welcome you, Yeshua. We acknowledge that God has sent you to us, and we welcome you. And the crowd praised God that Yeshua was the Messiah and that he would reestablish the kingdom of David. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heaven." In other words, may salvation come to us from the highest heaven, where God rules supremely over all. May God use the Messiah to save us altogether and completely. Hosanna, save now. Please save. And you will through the Messiah. So who is Yeshua? He is someone who is worthy of a royal reception, a royal procession. He is someone who will one day have the greatest royal procession that the world has ever seen. He is someone who deserves to have crowds accompanying him, acknowledging that he is the King and the Messiah. He is someone who is the answer to the prayer, "Hosanna, save now." He is the Savior of the world, who is able to rescue us right now from Satan and the demons, from sin and the sin nature, from death and hell. He can save us right now from any kind of situation. He can save us now. And he can and will save us forever and ever. He is the one who is the fulfillment of Psalm 118, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is someone we must acknowledge as being sent by God. He is someone we must welcome or deeply offend the one who sent him, something you do not want to do. He is the descendant of David, who will restore David's kingdom to Israel. And then he will rule from that kingdom over Israel and over all the nations of the world forever. There have been many kings in human history. Most kings are primarily concerned about power and wealth. They use religion to advance their agenda, but they really don't care about religion. But not this king. The heart of the most special city on earth, Jerusalem, was the temple, the most special place on earth, where God most powerfully manifested his presence on earth. The temple was the place where the principles of sin, sacrifice, atonement, salvation were most clearly seen on earth. And that's where this king headed first when he entered his city. Yeshua entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Yeshua had repeatedly told his disciples he would be rejected and killed by the leaders of the chosen people, who should have known him the best and have been devoted to him the most. The Messiah had a right to expect spiritual fruit from his people, the chosen people, especially the leaders who knew the most. Yet he found very little fruit. Yeshua knew that there would be terrible consequences for that kind of faithlessness and disloyalty. The cursing of the fig tree is a prophecy of the tragic rejection of the Messiah and its terrible consequences for the Jewish people. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Yeshua was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Who is Yeshua? He is the king who is very concerned about religion and about maintaining the holiness of the temple. On reaching Jerusalem, Yeshua entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations?' But you have made it a den of robbers." Who is Yeshua? Someone who knew the Word of God so well, it was there for him whenever he needed to refer to it. Like he did here, quoting Isaiah, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Who is Yeshua? Someone who wants us to be very familiar with the Word of God, like he was, reading it, studying it, hearing it taught by God-ordained teachers, thinking about it, meditating on it, applying it to all of the various situations we will confront. Who is Yeshua? Someone who demands that the temple be used for what the temple should be used for: getting close to God, learning about God and salvation, the principles of atonement, a place of worship and prayer for Israel and for the nations, not a place to be used as a market operated for the benefit of greedy merchants. Yeshua is the king who is deeply concerned about that most special place on earth, the temple. And since Christians and Messianic Jews now are the temple of the living God, since the Spirit of God is living in us in the most special way, Yeshua is now deeply concerned that we use the temple for what it should be used for. That Messiah's community doesn't get distracted by materialism and material things and greediness, but is dedicated to bringing people closer to God, teaching people about God and true worship and the principles of atonement and salvation. He wants our temple to maintain its holiness. Yeshua is someone who had the courage to take control of the temple. Take charge. Drive out the money changers. Overturn the tables of those who were selling doves. Even though he was not a priest who was descended from Aaron, they were the ones who were ordained by God to be in charge of the temple. But Yeshua is someone who had the courage to take control of the temple. And even though he was not a descendant of Aaron, he is someone who had the right to take control of the temple because he is greater than the descendants of Aaron. Now, the Jewish leaders already disliked Yeshua a lot and opposed him. His taking control of the temple and cleansing it intensified their opposition to him, so much so that they started planning to kill him. Mark tells us that they couldn't kill him right then and there, even though they wanted to, because the crowd of ordinary Jewish people were amazed by the wisdom of the young rabbi. They liked him so much. And they protected him. The chief priests and the Torah teachers heard this and began looking for a way to kill Yeshua, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And Yeshua is someone who wants us to be amazed at his teaching, like that crowd was, to understand that he is the greatest teacher of all. He's the supreme rabbi, the greatest prophet. Every word he spoke is wise and true and important. He wants us to be amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Yeshua and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Not just a little withered, but completely withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Yeshua, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." A curse, which is a kind of prayer, but a negative prayer, can take time to be fulfilled. But Yeshua's curse was fulfilled in one day. And the power and the immediacy of that curse impressed Peter. Yeshua will use the powerful and immediate fulfillment of his curse to teach the disciples a lesson about faith and prayer. "Have faith in God," Yeshua answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Yeshua is someone who wants us to have faith in God, to really know God, to know what God is like, to know what God is capable of doing. And God is a lot, and God is capable of doing a lot. Have faith in God. Be sure that he's real and know what he is like, what he is capable of doing. Another component of faith, especially the kind of faith that gets answers to its prayers, is knowing what God wants in a specific situation. First, you get close to God so that you can hear from God, usually speaking to you in that still, small voice, and you find out what he wants in a specific situation and what he is willing to do in that specific situation. Then, when you have heard very clearly from God, and you're sure that God has told you that a mountain needs to be thrown into the sea, then you have faith in God that he is capable of throwing that mountain into the sea, and you tell that mountain to throw itself into the sea because that's what God wants, and you expect that mountain to be thrown into the sea. If God tells you that a flood is coming that will destroy a corrupt world and that you are to build an ark, you believe God, you have faith in God, and you act on it, and you build an ark, and you pray accordingly. If God tells you to leave your family and nation, and he will greatly bless you, you have faith in him, and you act and pray accordingly, and you leave your family and nation and head to an unknown land. If God tells you that even though you are old and your wife cannot have children, that she will conceive and will have a son, you believe God. You're confident in God and what he can do, and you act and pray accordingly, and that miraculous child is born. If God tells you to return to Egypt and that he will do miracles and use you to defeat Pharaoh and he will use you to bring a nation out of slavery, you trust God and you act and you pray accordingly, and amazing things take place. Real faith is not simply believing something because you think it's the right thing. Lord, I believe I need a newer car. Lord, I believe I need a bigger house. Lord, I am sure I need a raise in my salary. Lord, I believe that pretty girl is destined to be my wife. Lord, I believe that I have complete healing for all of my diseases and illnesses. Lord, I believe in faith for all these things. I believe I've already received them and that they are mine. No. Real faith that gets its prayers answered first hears from God and finds out exactly what God wants in a situation and then stands on that faith. Yeshua is someone who wants us to pray for things and to learn how to pray so that our prayers are answered. Yeshua is someone who wants us to have faith, to have confidence in God, and get close to God and hear from God so that we can pray according to the will of God and have our prayers answered. And there's one other thing that we must do when we are praying. If we are holding anything against anyone, let me say that again. If we are holding anything against anyone, Yeshua is someone who wants us to forgive them so that God will forgive our sins, so that we'll have a clean slate with God, we'll be in a right relationship with God, that there will be nothing hindering our relationship and communication with God. But if we are holding on to resentments and not forgiving people their sins, that will interfere with our relationship with God and our ability to hear from him, and our prayers will not get answered. The conflict between Yeshua and the Jewish leaders is intensifying. A little background. Among the Jewish people, there were three areas of leadership in the nation: prophets, priests, kings. The priests had authority over the religion and the temple. The kings had political authority. But when the priests or the kings failed their responsibilities, God would often send a prophet to challenge the priest, to challenge the king. However, corrupt priests and kings rarely appreciated the prophets that God sent to correct them. And that's what is happening here. Mark tells us they arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Yeshua was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the Torah teachers, and the elders came to him. This is the Jewish leadership. The priests, the Torah teachers, the experts in Torah, and the elders, the leaders of the people, came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "Who gave you this authority to do this?" The leaders were offended by the carpenter from Nazareth. He was not one of the priests who had God-given authority over the temple. He was not a member of the Sanhedrin. He was not an elder of the nation. They believed he had no right to interfere in the temple, and so they challenged his authority. And this challenge could have been very dangerous for Yeshua if he said something like, "Well, I have the right to do this because I am the Messiah, I'm the Son of God." The leaders could use his response to accuse him of treason or blasphemy. But Yeshua is wiser than all of his opponents, always. He took charge of this interaction and replied to their question with a question of his own. A question which will both tell the truth and reveal their deficient leadership. Yeshua replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me." They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, John's baptism was from heaven, God sent John to do this, Yeshua will ask, then why didn't you believe him?" In other words, if John was a God-ordained prophet, and John testified that Yeshua was greater than he was, which John did, then Yeshua did have the authority to do everything he did. Prophets have that kind of authority. But that option was totally unacceptable to the leaders. They had already examined Yeshua and rejected him and his claims, and were intent on killing him. So here's our other option. If we say of human origin, John was not a prophet. And Mark tells us that the leaders feared the people because everyone held that John really was a prophet. They didn't like that option, so they answered Yeshua, "We don't know." If these leaders could not answer a simple question, the question if John was a true prophet, then how could they possibly be good spiritual leaders? The answer is they couldn't be, and they weren't. Who is Yeshua? Someone who is able to get the best of every situation and turn every confrontation, every challenge, even with the shrewdest human being, to his advantage. And he is someone who is always in control and does not feel the need to answer every question he is asked. And neither should we. Yeshua said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." So, who is Yeshua according to this 11th chapter of this divinely inspired book? Someone who says something will happen, and it happens always. Someone who knows the prophecies in the Word of God, like Zechariah chapter 9, and works with God the Father to make the prophecies come true. All of them, every prophecy in the Word of God will come true because Yeshua is working with the God the Father to make sure that that will take place. Yeshua is the King Messiah of the first coming. The Zechariah kind of humble Messiah, however, which is reflected in the way he rides into Jerusalem on a colt, not on a great white stallion. Yeshua is someone who wants us to follow his example and continually try to humble ourselves. Yeshua is someone who deserves to have crowds accompanying him, acknowledging that he is the Messiah. He is someone who is worthy of a royal procession. He is someone who will one day have the greatest royal procession ever. He is someone who is the answer to the prayer, Hoshiana, save now, right now. He is the Savior of the world and can save us from every situation and from our greatest enemy, Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. Yeshua is the one who is the fulfillment of Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is someone we must acknowledge as being sent by God. He is someone we must welcome or offend the God who sent him. He is the descendant of David who will restore David's kingdom to Israel and then rule over Israel and the nations with peace and justice and happiness forever and ever. He is the king who's very concerned about religion and maintaining the holiness of the temple. He is someone who demands that the temple be used for what it should be used for, getting close to God, learning about God and salvation, a place of worship and prayer for Israel and the nations, that the temple not be turned into a market operated for the benefit of greedy merchants. And since we are the temple, he wants us to maintain the holiness of the temple and function the way we are to function, that we are not distracted by materialism and greed, but we are dedicated to bringing people closer to God and teaching people about God and true worship and the way of salvation. He is someone who has the right to take control of the temple because he is greater than all of the descendants of Aaron. He is someone who wants us to be amazed at his teaching, to understand that he is the supreme rabbi and prophet, that every word he ever spoke is wise and true and valuable and important. He is someone who knew the word of God so well, it was always there for him whenever he needed to refer to it. And he is someone who wants us to be very familiar with the Word of God by reading it, studying it, hearing it taught by God-ordained teachers, thinking about it, meditating on it, applying it to all of the various situations we will encounter. He is someone who wants us to have faith in God, to know what God is like and what God is capable of doing. He is someone who wants us to get close to God and hear from God so that we can pray according to the will of God and get our prayers answered. He is someone who wants us to forgive anything against anyone so that God may forgive our sins, so that channel of communication between us and God will remain pure. He is someone who was able to get the best of every situation, turn every confrontation, every challenge, even with the shrewdest human beings, to his advantage. He is someone who is in control and does not feel the need to answer every question that he is asked by fallen human beings, and neither should we. May God enable Yeshua to be all these things to us, and may we respond faithfully to all that he is and become all that we should be to him. Amen.